No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, talking about a winning streak, a legitimate winning streak. 2 games in a row for the Colorado Rockies, getting it done, snapping a lot of losing streaks with a win on Thursday night in San Francisco at Oracle Park. Also want to talk about a couple minor league ball players and whether or not Bud Black is on the hottest of hot seats right now in Major League Baseball. Certainly having the worst record in the game would suggest there's a little job uncertainty there. However, that may not exactly be true. Who else is on a very warm hot seat? But let's talk about Thursday night's 4-3 victory, thanks to 3 runs very late against a Giants bullpen. Now, Colorado had been playing very poorly, not only in San Francisco, but just on the road in general. They had a 13-game road losing streak going back to March. Remember, they won game 2 in Tampa Bay, and then 13 in a row, they had lost, tied a franchise record for 13 straight road losses with the 2008 club. But they snapped that. They also snapped a 12-game losing streak against the Giants in San Francisco, dating back to July 8th, 2023. They were minus 49 in the run differential, averaging just 2.8 runs per game. First win in Oracle Park, dating back to 2022, or rather, 1-15. They had won one of their last 15 games dating back to 2022. They haven't won back-to-back games in San Francisco since May of 2018. So they're going to give that a shot on Friday with Ryan Feltner on the hill. But Kyle Freeland did his job. Quality start, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. This was his 207th career start on Thursday, surpassing Aaron Cook for the most games started in Colorado Rockies franchise history. We just had Hermann Marquez becoming not only the franchise leader in career strikeouts last season, but becoming the first with 1,000 strikeouts. Well, now Kyle Freeland, number one for most starts in purple. And his next start, which will come in Colorado, probably should be Wednesday, May 7th against Detroit. That one's going to break the record for most starts at Coors Field. He's at 104 right now, tied with Aaron Cook, but gets a much-needed win for the team. He doesn't earn the victory, but gets the job done. He didn't get the run support. He just has never gotten a lot of run support from the Rockies. Going into Thursday night's game, had only 8 total runs of support through his first 6 starts. Actually had a 1.38 run support through his first 5 starts. They were hitting a little bit for him in that Cincinnati game. But he had yet to have, and he still doesn't have, a lead in any of his starts since that opening day start in Tampa Bay. Remember, he had that 2-0 lead and was going to come out for the 7th, and they erred on the side of caution, going to the bullpen, going to Tyler Kinley. That lead got coughed up, and the Rockies lost on opening day 3-2 thanks to a walk-off. But he had a lead in that game, and he has not had a lead since. Some of that having to do with the offense not supporting him, and some of it having to do with not doing his job, so to speak, not being bad, but just not being sharp enough. And that's unfortunate when the offense struggles to get runs. But only two runs of support while Freeland was in the game. And the offense did a nice job. Yes, they got the four runs. I'll tell you how they got those in just a second. But only struck out six times, which was a positive, to say the least, for this offense to keep these strikeouts down just a little bit. They had four through the first eight before striking out twice in the ninth. Now, Rockies got themselves on the board with an RBI single from Brent Doyle. You had Ryan McMahon snapping an 0-for-35 hitless drought. A lot of folks on social media very happy for Ryan McMahon, who was actually dropped to fifth in the lineup. It was his first time batting fifth since, I want to say, April 6th of last season in that Tampa Bay series at home, the opening day weekend, or the home opening weekend. And ever since then, third or fourth in the lineup. He drops to fifth on Thursday. Michael Tolia hitting third, his first start, batting number three in the lineup. But McMahon snapping an 0-for-35 hitless drought with a 396-foot homer to center field off Justin Verlander. And I didn't mention this on social media because I didn't want it to sound like a backhanded compliment or a backhanded post in any way, but that home run was in fact a unicorn. It was 396 feet to center field, and Oracle Park, the only ballpark that would have been expected to be a home run, nowhere else. It's 391 to straightaway center field where McMahon hit it. Only Fenway Park has a more shallow center field at 390. However, there's a 15-foot wall in center field, so you've got to hit it much further than that. So it's the only place it would have gone out, but that doesn't matter. McMahon snaps that 0-for-35 franchise record hitless drought. When it came to late in the ball game, Rockies ended up getting two in the eighth against Denver native Tyler Rogers. Doyle singled, stole second. Jordan Beck, RBI double. Hunter Goodman, RBI single. Pretty impressive to do it against Rogers, who had only allowed one run all season up to that point in his 16 games. So that was pretty critical for them. And, you know, for shouting out folks from Colorado, because Tyler Rogers, Denver native. Got to mention Christian Coss, who actually made the final out for the Giants today. He started at second base for San Francisco. You may or may not recall, he was drafted and developed by Colorado, 12th round pick in 2019 out of UC Irvine, traded ahead of the 2021 season to Boston for lefty Yoan Ibar. Do you remember Yoan Ibar? Probably not. He was on the 40-man roster for a little while. Now, Christian Coss was a 2019 Pioneer League All-Star alongside fellow Grand Junction Rocky Brenton Doyle. Would have been interesting if Coss had made that final out with a fly ball to center field in Brenton Doyle. Alas, it was to right fielder Mickey Moniak. Coss was also a player of the month for July 2019. But getting back to Kyle Freeland, quality start, six innings pitched, seven hits, three walks, does walk the two, struck out five, allowed a home run, a leadoff homer to Helio Ramos, did also allow two runs in the bottom of the sixth, which at that time were two critical runs, Willy Adames single, Wilmer Flores double, 29th RBI for Wilmer Flores already this season, impressive. Yastrzemski RBI double to score Flores, but Freeland, not as good as his career average in San Francisco. 3.42 ERA is his career average, but good enough with his quality start. 100th career quality start for Kyle Freeland. Somewhat of a rarity. I think he's the seventh active player to reach 100 quality starts. Pretty impressive stuff for him. And then in the ninth inning, you had Zach Agnos shutting it down again. Before that, we'll give us some love to Angel Chivigi, who ended up getting the win with an inning and a third pitched. Scott Alexander coming in to get the final two outs of the eighth. And then Agnos, a 1-2-3 inning for back-to-back saves for the rookie in only his sixth outing. Save in game number five, save now in game number six. I guess this young man is now the Rockies closer. So two-game win streak for the Rockies. Nothing to shake a stick at with. It's hard to even keep track. How many wins do they even have now? Six. So, all right, I guess they're going to go 137-25. They're going to win out the rest of the way. The smiles on these guys' faces were very illuminating. They were very, very happy coming off the field and celebrating as they should be. And look, are they going to lose 100 games this year? Yeah, two wins in a row is not changing how I feel about that. Can they still lose 115 games? Yeah. 110? Yeah. But they're going to win their share of games. Again, might not be a ton. It's very well-known quote. I don't know if it should be attributed to Earl Weaver or was it Casey Stengel? I believe it was Earl Weaver who said, you're going to win a third of your games. You're going to lose a third of your games. It's what you do in the other one-third of your games that matter. And so, yeah, you're going to win 54 games. If you win 54 games, you're still losing 108. And maybe that's where the Rockies are at. They're winning the 54 games they're supposed to. They're losing 54 no-doubters. And then it's the other 54 that they're failing to eke out wins in. And you know what? They were able to eke out a win on Thursday. So maybe, just maybe, their win total will be a little bit higher than 54. It'll be interesting to see if they can win one more game and at least get a split in San Francisco. That could be absolutely huge for this team who go right back to Coors Field after this Giants series. So if they can win another game in the next 3 days, then yeah, you do have the team that happens to have the best record in the American League at the time of this recording, the Detroit Tigers, but that is their third in a three-game city road trip. So they're going to be a little fatigued, and they're going to be fatigued at altitude in Denver. And then you got the Padres rolling in. So splitting a series against the Giants could be a big momentum boost, and maybe the bats at least start to come alive. And even if you go 2-4 at home, and you show some life offensively, I think then at that point you can look and start to say, you know what, maybe the Rockies can win a lot more, like 50% of their home games, because that's typically what they've been able to do. And they are far from that right now. Sure, after the Tigers and Padres series next week at home, you've got four against the Phillies, three against the Yankees. Not easy. Then after a three-city trip, you've got three against the Mets, three against the Giants again. Not easy. In the third week of June, three against the Diamondbacks at home, three against the Dodgers. So there's no letting up on the schedule. When you are the worst team in baseball, and certainly you can say at least the worst team in the National League, every team that you play is going to be better than you. And that's just something that the Rockies are going to have to deal with. But if they can win close to 50% of their games at home, it's going to give you a little bit of hope, and it's going to give them at least some momentum when they do happen to go back out on the road. One guy who went back out on the road down to Albuquerque, New Mexico, was Zach Veen on Wednesday night. He homered in a loss to Salt Lake City. He's now gone 8-for-23 since getting optioned back down to AAA on April 23rd. He's got a double, triple, and a homer. No walks, only five strikeouts in those five games. So showing some improvement, a little bit better bat-to-ball ratio, putting the ball in play, something he's going to need to continue to do. Gabriel Hughes, in his last start, ended up lowering his ERA to 2.08 in AA Hartford's 6-3 win over the Chesapeake Bay Sox. They are the former Bowie Bay Sox, so they did change their name, not their location. And Gabriel Hughes continues to make enough noise where when the time is right, he'll get that opportunity in AAA, and I do believe we are going to see him before 2025. Lets out Cole Carrig, grand slam in that win Wednesday night, his fourth homer of the season. Do want to talk a little bit more about Charlie Condon, who is the Rockies' number two prospect, their top hitting prospect. He has not played since sustaining a fractured left wrist. It was a non-displaced fractured wrist. But Chris Forbes, the the head of player development talk with Thomas Harding and noted that a hand specialist down in Scottsdale, Arizona, is hoping that Condon is going to be cleared to begin some strengthening exercises very soon. The club is hoping for a mid to late May return to action if all the benchmarks are met. You know how I've been talking in the last couple days, certainly the last week. The Rockies are, I don't want to say too aggressive with their timetables, but it does seem like a lot of their players are not hitting those timetables for some reason or another, or rather the timetables that they are telling the media may not be the ones that they are discussing behind the scenes. Not a grand conspiracy. The proof is in the pudding. Check the track record. So mid to late May, I'm going to say it's going to be late May to early June when Charlie Condon gets back to action. And I would certainly lean more towards early June, maybe even mid-June when he returns. Don't want to rush him back. There's no need to rush him back. So we'll wait and see what ends up happening for that. Let's talk about those hot seats. Let's talk about who has the hottest hot seat or the warmest hot seat in baseball right now. And I think you get on a hot seat when reality does not meet the expectation that was set forth by the front office, by your ownership, by fans. And when it comes to the Colorado Rockies, the expectations were not very high for this team. And yes, they certainly have been lower than what the expectations have been. And I think it's more that it's been embarrassing. If you go 4-25 at any other stretch of the year, that's rough. That sucks. But to start your season that way, I think it really just puts a magnifying glass atop what's going on. And it's one of the reasons why Hensley Mullins is no longer the hitting coach of this team. But to say that overall the Rockies are drastically below the expectations the front office had of this team, I think would be inaccurate. We don't know what would have happened were Brenton Doyle not miss 10 plus games, or Ezekiel Tovar now not miss out close to 15 games. It's going to be 20 by the time he returns, if he even returns by the most recent prognostication with his left hip issues that he's been having. And Tyro Estrada, we've yet to see. And sure, that is putting a lot on just three players. With Doyle, you just really would have hoped he could take the next step forward. And he has been playing. When he's healthy, he's been great. I believe he does lead the team in RBI, if not still tied with Hunter Goodman for most. But Doyle taking a step forward, Tovar taking the next step forward and becoming a superstar, and then Tyro Estrada plugging into that offense, you haven't had any of those three things. And everything else has been pretty fine, other than Marquez really being a shell of himself. So how much are you going to chalk that up to Bud Black? I don't think a lot. And so that's why I don't think that the hot seat is very warm for him. If we look around the rest of the National League, the three other bottom teams, Pirates, Marlins, and Nationals, those are the teams you would have expected to be at the bottom of the National League. Now, I really like what the Nationals were able to do this offseason, and I thought they had a chance to challenge for 500 and maybe be able to do that through July, maybe even mid-August before the kind of wheels fall off for a lot of those young players. But I like the offseason that they had, and maybe they'll still come around. That being said, entering Thursday, they're only five games under 500. Not great, but five games under 500 early to mid-September, that's what the Rockies essentially were in 2007 before they went to the World Series. So if you want to extrapolate and say, well, five games under 500 now, over the course of a 162-game season, we don't know. We only can go by this first month of the calendar and say, well, how much worse is this than what we would have expected? I don't think a ton. I think Atlanta is the one team you would look at and say, well, they have not been as good as a lot of folks would have expected. They have definitely been worse than expectations. And I mean, that's true. You can't deny that at 14-16, two games under 500. That's not a great start. But let's not forget, sure, they still don't have Spencer Strider. Actually, no, Spencer Strider is back. What am I saying? They don't have Ronald Acuna. It's still going to be a little while until he returns. And what you do have is a situation where Atlanta just got, you know, the short end of the deal. They left Florida and they had two games in Arizona. This, a lot of this, you know, Pierce Johnson was describing it to me when I talked to him on Wednesday. You know, the simple fact that they had a four-game sweep in San Diego, then they go to LA for three games, and it's a long time before they're sleeping in their own beds in Atlanta. That was how Pierce Johnson described it, because they went out to Arizona for two exhibition games at Chase Field. So since then, since all of that travel to start the year, they're 14-9 since that start. So I think Brian Snitker very much is fine. And for a guy that does have a World Series ring to show for his work as the skipper of this club, I think he's fine. So in the National League, would I put Bud Black atop the list? I would. But I also think in the next month, you could see somebody else go right past Bud Black. Who is that going to be? I don't know. You know, the Cardinals right now are four games under 500. I think that's probably where you would have expected them to be. But if you've got issues behind the scenes and in the clubhouse, Ollie Marmol could certainly be a guy on his way out.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Beyond that, there's not a ton of teams that are under 500 in the National League. The National League right now is like the Western Conference in the NBA, just dominating, absolutely dominating. Maybe Derek Shelton with the Pirates right now, eight games under 500. He could be a name, but they've already stuck by him. Pirates lost 100 games in back-to-back seasons, and they still kept him around. Could they possibly make a change? Yeah. And maybe I would put Shelton on the same hot seat right now as Bud Black, maybe even a couple degrees hotter. And Ollie Marmol, give it two more weeks, and maybe his seat becomes hotter. Let's go over to the American League. White Sox at 7-23. Or 8-23, they did win on Thursday. I mean, Will Venable, look, this team was expected to be bad, so I don't think they're pulling the trigger on that at all. The Angels right now are struggling in a bad way. They are 12-18. They've lost again on Thursday night. They've now lost six in a row. They started 4-2 with series wins over the White Sox and Cardinals, who are not very good. But then they won the next two over the Guardians and the Rays, but they've now won only one of their last six series, 1-8 over their last nine. So they were looking like, hey, maybe finally the Angels are putting the pieces together. And now they're not. So Ron Washington, okay. You could throw him into the mix. Twins, not much better at 13-19, current three-game losing streak. But I don't think they were really expected to do much this year. And again, at only six games, sure, that's rough. You've got a deficit to make up. They're seven games back of the Tigers right now for that division, only four games back of the final wild card. So you're just going to have to give that time a little bit, especially in a division where you could win 85 games and win the division. Toronto is another interesting case at 14-17. They now have a three-game losing streak, and they got to go to Yankee Stadium for three games this weekend. John Schneider possibly on the hot seat with the expectations for the Jays. Still a little bit early for them. The one guy that I think undoubtedly is on the hottest seat in all of baseball, that would have to be Brandon Hyde of the Baltimore Orioles. Now, right now, the Orioles have a negative 49 run differential, which if you're looking at expected wins and losses based on run differential, Orioles have two more wins than they should have. Ultimately, their run differential got jacked up by a big 20-run loss to the Reds a couple weekends ago. So that's kind of one of the biggest ones. But Orioles have suffered eight losses by five or more runs, tied with the White Sox for most in MLB. They've had 20 defeats last season that were like that. And they're almost halfway to that after the first month. Orioles have been held to four hits or less in 10 games, most in Major League Baseball. That happened to them 21 times all of last year. They're halfway there. Cal Gibson just made his debut, allowed five home runs, tying a franchise record. So the Orioles, with the expectations that that franchise has for them, they've definitely fallen shy of the mark. Now, while I was critical of their offseason, and I think everybody was, right? They needed to go out and get an ace, certainly needed to replace Corbin Burns. I think they replaced Anthony Santander with Tyler O'Neill. Cool, that's fine. But even then, you need a little bit more. And so you do, I think, fairly need to be critical and criticize Mike Elias, their general manager. But I did think the needle was threaded enough with Sagano and eventually Gibson, but Charlie Morton. They acquired enough starting pitching depth that it was going to last them for the regular season. I was not convinced they would win a game in the postseason, but enough that it would get them in. Pick them to win the AL East. And I'm going to stick with that for right now because they're a club that you swap out that manager, you go somewhere else, you go into a different direction. I think that's going to wake up a lot of the young guys in that clubhouse, and they could come back. They could bounce back very easily. They are a team built for the regular season, not a team built for the postseason. The Dodgers are built for both. There's no doubt about it. But they are, the Orioles are a team right now that are definitely falling short of expectations, which is why you have to say for Brandon Hyde, the seat is warm and the heat is being turned up. The heating pad right now on the seat is plugged in, I would say, for John Schneider, Derek Shelton of the Pirates. And you know what? I'm probably going to include Bud Black on that. The heating pad is plugged in. It hasn't been turned on, but the pad has been plugged in. Then, you know, not in danger, but keep an eye on Ron Washington of the Angels, as I mentioned, Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, and only one other guy that I had in there in Ollie Marmol. Keep an eye on that one. And I think maybe he does deserve to be in the heating pad is plugged in on that hot seat for Ollie Marmol. But it's just too early. It's just too early. There's a baseball adage that you don't look at the standings until Memorial Day. And I know a lot of Rockies fans and everybody in the NL West is looking at the standings. But for true baseball folks, you don't really look at it until then to start to evaluate what you've got, because there can be mitigating factors. And for the Rockies, they might not even have Tyro Estrada back by then. And then you can start and look and say, okay, are they falling shy of expectations? That's what then can be determined. I don't think there is a rush to do anything different right now in Colorado. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies Insider, go over to the YouTube channel. Make sure you get yourself subscribed, and you'll get notifications when I'm going live. You'll get notifications. I'm posting over there. If you're not big on Twitter or Blue Sky, that's fine, because I've been doing a lot more posts over on YouTube. So hasn't always been once a day, but if I get a real good one out there, I'm going to go ahead and post and say, hey, take a look at this photograph. Like on Baseball Reference, they will sort the players based on who's been the 12 best in order. And for the Rockies, the top three going into Thursday was elite facial hair. Yeah, Jake Bird, number one, with his 1.0 wins above replacement, got the big full beard. You got Hunter Goodman at 0.6 wins above replacement, going with the, you know, somewhat neck beard Amish situation that he's got in his player profile. And then number three was 0.5 and rising after Thursday's save, second of the season, rookie Zach Agnos with, you know, kind of a miniature version of the Raleigh finger curly mustache. That's pretty darn good. Handlebar mustache situation going on. So that's some of the stuff you can see over on YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed so you can get those notifications. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate the momentum you've provided me just by listening. Believe it or not, I can feel that. I can feel you listening. So thank you for that. But momentum, unfortunately, as I like to say, it can only be as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.